The following program is an exclusive DisruptionNetworks.com production.
Hey, it's Adeline Van Dyke from Coldwell Banker Faith Properties in Utica. I always get asked, why do I love real estate? It's very simple. I love my clients. I love every single thing about helping them find or sell their home. Making sure the home is solid and ready for sale or solid and ready for the buyer's inspection, to making sure that they're getting the best rate on their mortgage, making sure they're getting the best price on their house. You know, just everything involved in the sale is vital. My absolute favorite part of real estate is when a buyer walks into the house they're going to buy. I can feel it before they even know they're loving the house. It's just that obvious. So I'd love to experience that feeling with you. So give me a call. Adeline Van Dyke, Coldwell Banker Faith Properties, 315-404-6431. Or you can find me on Facebook or visit my website at centralnewyork.com/Adeline. Thank you. And I look forward to welcoming you home.
When it's your hard-earned money on the line that you are investing into a home, it makes sense to choose a proven professional to assist you in making one of the biggest investments you may ever make. Josh's dedication of over 20 years to the home construction industry allows him to bring knowledge and experience to your doorstep. That means you can feel confident and comfortable with his service to you. Past clients love his attention to detail and thorough written reports. By allowing priceless inspections to help you make a well-informed decision concerning your property, you will find that a quality inspection is priceless. Follow Priceless Inspections on Facebook or call 315-525-8725. In the Mohawk Valley, for the best real estate service, you gotta have faith. Caldwell Banker Faith Properties, 315-735-2222 or www.centralnyhomes.com.
Yolo, infidels, that's right. It's Hacker Hameen.
This is Al Schneer from the band Mo.
Hey, this is Corey Glover from Living Color.
And you're listening to EC Radio.
And you're listening to EC Radio.
Live on EC Radio with the Z-Man. So take the pizza out of your fat moron mouse. Sit back and listen before I give you a $5 face slap. You'll never forget, infidels. YOLO.
Welcome to EC Radio Podcast. We would like to thank all of our sponsors for joining the Disruption team, and we hope that you will support all of our sponsors. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this program.
Da-da-dee, da-da-dee. Good afternoon, everybody. Z here hanging. How are you? Hope you're enjoying your Thursday. Chicken here joining me today, buddy. How you doing?
What's going on?
I get adjusted over here. Technical difficulties as always.
Busy day for me today.
Busy day for you today.
Yeah, got this, and we got the D-line.
The D-line's coming up in a little bit.
We got Gaffney filling in for Caleb because he's stuck in Boston because of the weather.
Oh, yeah?
Stuck in the airport. They canceled all flights last night.
Why, did Boston get it worse than we did?
No, but I think because we got it, he was flying in here, they couldn't fly in because of the weather.
Oh, wow.
So he's trapped out there in Boston. He's coming in tonight, but we got... We got our man Gaffney. Sean Gaffney's coming in, filling in. We're going to do a little football recap, kind of throw a little egg in the face of Greg Williams for, you know, he being a Patriots fan.
That's what happened, huh?
And then I'm working at the bar tonight.
He talked some shit, too.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I'm in the middle of a busy one, too. I got to work the Stanley after this. We have Cinderella at the Stanley tonight.
The band?
Not the band. Oh, the play.
Man. I was hoping to play.
The play. And they had it last night, too, in the snowstorm. A lot of people showed up, so it was a good turnout for that. So hopefully tonight is a... Bigger turnout than last night, yes.
Speaking of, well, you get much better weather, so probably better chance. But speaking of Cinderella, my buddy Tom posted on Facebook, Cinderella Long Cold Winter versus Skid Row.
Skid Row all day.
Really?
More hard rocking album. Way more.
It is, but I don't know. That Cinderella, like, I guess maybe because it was my first show. That was my first show and my third show.
And then if you want to look at the ballads, there's better ballads on Skid Row than there was Cinderella, I think. Personally, that's my opinion.
Some great, they're both great albums.
Skid Row is probably that first album's in my top 20.
Really?
As a kid, really? that was a great album that I wore out. Like, that was a tape that I would wear out, and it would constantly lose generations. You know what I mean? When you had tape cassettes,
yeah, but you know,
they would lose generations, and they would lose the audio quality.
As a kid, I probably would have definitely agreed with you. It's hard. Both albums are great.
Yeah.
But, like, I think, like, growing up and actually, you know, listening to some of that, that old Cinderella... You know, like, in shedding that hairband look, you know, that hairband image that they had.
Yeah.
Because now, like, looking at just as the music, and I've seen them live a few times, I don't know, like, Tom Kiefer's voice is just amazing.
And not anymore, it ain't, because it's shot and he can't sing anymore.
Really?
All done.
I've heard that many times, and then he comes back.
He just had an operation. He was on Eddie Trunk not too long ago saying he can't sing anymore.
That's too bad.
It's a shame.
Yep.
It's a shame. But yeah, busy week today, busy day today. And we were talking about having Enter the Haggis come in tomorrow, but we've decided to change that, actually. Because tomorrow, if they were to come in, it would be kind of a rush around for them. So we're going to move it to Saturday afternoon. So we're going to have Enter the Haggis in studio Saturday afternoon, a special EC radio edition. If you're making plans on it, we got to switch them up for you. But you can always watch it or listen to it later on the podcast.
And what I think, though, it might be even better, too, because a lot of people will be at work. They want to listen.
Yeah.
And now on Saturday, I mean, there's no college football anymore. There's no, there's not a lot going on. And so you might as well tune in, listen to Enter the Haggis play.
Yeah, they can play acoustic and you clean your house. Listen to Enter the Haggis on a Saturday afternoon. What better than that?
Hell yeah.
What better than that?
That clean my house.
Got a guest in the house, an old friend of mine, an old chum, my friend Tim Nelson. Nelson, welcome. Good to see you, buddy. Get a little closer to the microphone if you could.
Thanks for having me.
You can move that see you, man. Yeah, you can move it. It's adjustable. Kick back, relax. Nelson's an old happy hour guy from the EC, used to hang out back in the day. And we've had great times together throughout. Chicken, you got to forgive me because this is probably going to be a little reminiscing, catching up type of thing over here.
Dude, you do it all the time. It's all good.
This man is a legend. He's a legend. And he doesn't want to. I'm going to blow smoke up his butt a little bit right now. But this is a Syracuse lacrosse legend right here.
Oh, that's right. You were saying that. Yes, he is.
And you know, it's funny. Every now and then, they'll show old replays. And then all of a sudden, I'll hear Tim Nelson with the ball. I'm like, hey, Nelly, there you are. But yeah, when were you on the team? Was it? It was the late 80s, early 90s, right?
85 was my senior year, but I like to say that I've gone from a who's who to a who's he to a who cares.
I care, Nelson.
No, I was blessed to have a lot of good teammates around me. My strength was not speed or strength necessarily, but good hand-eye coordination, good field sense, coach on the field. So, I grew up in Yorktown, New York, down outside of New York City. I was a three-sport athlete. I had an older brother who was a three-sport athlete, and lacrosse was really big in our town, and athletics were big in our town. And I was very fortunate to have supportive parents and two brothers and, played a lot of sports, so it was fun.
What were the other sports you played?
I was a quarterback in the football team and a point guard on the basketball team.
Wow. You're busy, huh?
Yeah, so three sports. I think I had nine varsity letters out of the three sports. So it was, great town, Yorktown. They're still very good in football. They went to the state finals in football this year.
Oh, wow.
And they've won many state championships in lacrosse, too, so great athletic town.
Yeah, and so they went on to Syracuse, and you won national championships with Syracuse.
Right. I was on the first national championship team.
The very first.
In 1983, 35 years ago this year.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Isn't it like lacrosse like the most American sport there is?
Well, it's a Native American sport. Yeah, right. It's founded by the natives in the Onondaga Reservation outside of Syracuse. So,
I didn't realize it was even that local.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Prestigious around this time.
Yeah. How come, lacrosse hasn't been, publicly accepted as, part of, you get the big four? Right. How come lacrosse is always kind of,
Good question. I think a lot of times it was played in the wealthier areas, Baltimore, Maryland, Long Island, things like that. But lacrosse right now is the fastest growing sport in the country.
Really?
Yeah, for kids growing up. Yeah.
Nice.
So Nike is in lacrosse now, Reebok's in lacrosse, Under Armour is all about lacrosse. So despite what you think, it's growing more and more, but I've still got a long way to go. And I mean, there are professional outdoor and indoor. These guys can make probably $30,000-$50,000 a year on that.
I was just going to ask you if there was a professional lacrosse.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a big league. What, 12 teams in that league?
I think there's eight in the outdoor and eight in the indoor.
Oh, it's eight. Yeah. I thought it was bigger than that. Yeah. But, a couple of years ago, I worked the World Indoor Lacrosse Championships. And it was actually the first time I got to watch a lacrosse game. And, I mean, it's just like hockey, you're running, not skating.
Right.
And there's no offsides.
Right. Well, very, spectator-friendly sport.
Absolutely.
The NCAA, it's one of the few NCAA-sponsored tournaments that makes money, actually, because a lot of people will come and watch. Obviously, basketball is making money for everybody.
Right.
Football doesn't have they have one AA football championship, but lacrosse does very well when it comes to at least covering their expenses for the tournament. So,
And how many national championships Syracuse have total?
11 in lacrosse.
11. Wow.
Yeah. 11. That's amazing. And there's been some amazing players out of the Powell brothers coming out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then who's the big Iroquois family? There's a bunch of guys that.
Oren Lyons is like the chief. He's a head of the Onondaga Nation. He played at Syracuse with my coach and played for my coach's father at Syracuse.
Wow.
So he's very tight. you know, the Thompsons.
That played
at Albany.
Thank you.
They obviously had, you know, great careers. And lacrosse is, I guess, when you're born in there, you have a little lacrosse stick in your crib when you're born down in the Onondaga Reservation. Mm-hmm. So definitely it's their life.
Yeah, awesome. It's what a great sport. It's fun to watch. You should check it out, though, Chicken. It was cooler to watch it inside than it was outside. Outside's more spread out, where inside, it's like you're right on top of it.
Yeah, more action.
More action,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's more spread out outside, almost like a kind of like soccer.
Right, exactly.
You know, in a way, more spread out. Yeah. But do you go and do like alumni games or any of that with SU? Or?
Well, I'll be going there now a lot because my son, Connor, just graduated from New Hartford High School.
Congratulations to your son, Connor.
Yeah, he had a very good career at New Hartford, good student. He's redshirting this year at Syracuse because he's young. He only graduated high school at 17. He knows it needs a year to – I mean, it's a big jump from New Hartford High School across to Syracuse, you know. So he's going to redshirt there, but doing well, liking it. And so I'll definitely be going to back there all the games now that he's there, so.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Exciting times.
It's very exciting times, and hopefully they can knock down a couple more national championships, right?
That would be pretty sweet if my son could get one, too, yeah.
Now, do you have one under your belt, or do you have more?
I won national championship, but we played in the national championship game the 3 years I was there. Won one, lost twice, but, you know, got the one.
Yeah, so. At least you got the one.
Yeah.
That's something
we might have not have been the best team ever, but we were the first team to win a championship.
It's beautiful. 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Time fly by.
It sure does. It
goes by so damn quick.
Yeah, I'm in my 20th year at Utica College right now.
Are you really?
20 years I've been. You know, I'm going on my 20th year.
Now, what's your title now?
Assistant Vice President of Advancement, Alumni Relations Fundraising for the college. I spend time with people that want to help us. So
beautiful.
It's been a good run.
And how about knocking down tuition? That is remarkable.
Yeah. Right,
it's how awesome. Now, have you seen enrollment fly up?
Yeah, it was called our tuition reset. Yep. It was designed to make, you know, Utica College more affordable, and we've been attracting better students now, too, because we reset the tuition. So we got a great new president, Laura Casimeno. She was my boss for 12 years. She's awesome, and I worked for Todd Hutton, our previous president. He was there for 18 years. So, the roots are getting deep. I've lived here longer than anywhere else in my life.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a good community.
Yeah.
Got to be people like you guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Me and Nelson, actually, one time we went to a Yankee game. His buddy hooked us up. We sat in the Yes Luxury Box.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. What a day that was. That was exciting.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. How is your buddy,
Big Red is doing great. Actually, he retired from the Yes Network, was trying to launch some cable channel networks on, and anyway, he made a change. He's now the interim director of the graduate sport management program at Ohio University.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's doing well.
What a day that was, though. We sat drinking beers and just knocking down
Halk
a bunch of fried food and stuff.
Yeah. Halk was on that.
Yeah, Halk was with us. Me, Halk, and Damon. Yeah, we had a great time. That was a great time.
Those were the days.
Good memory, for sure. Now, Utica College, their athletics program, I feel, has like picked up immensely, especially in the last decade. With the hockey team is a powerhouse every year.
Right.
You know, the basketball's always been good.
Right.
Baseball's picking it up. I mean, football now.
Yep. Football, Blaise Fagiano, our football coach, has done a lot with Gary Heenan's done in involving the community and everything we do. And obviously, you know, not only do we have the college's name on our uniforms, but we have the city's name. And I think that's when I speak to prospective student athletes coming to Utica College, I tell them, you can't get better media coverage than you're going to get in Utica, New York. Let's face it, you can't turn on the radio, the TV, the newspaper. Utica College is right there all the time. So I think that's a great thing we can offer students when they come here.
That, and they play in front of a crowd. There's good attendance in all the sports.
Yes, sure. Well, Gaetano Stadium is a great facility for football, men's and women's lacrosse, field hockey. Our dome is back up.
Is it?
And it's not totally finished, but the turf is inside, so our teams are practicing there on the turf. And our track team is probably our best team we have. They won the Empire 8 championship in the fall.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they won the indoor championship last year. So our track program is very good, very good. I'm going to say that they may be the first team to win a national championship at Utica College. Gary Heenan might have something to say with that. But
how is my buddy GH?
He's doing well. He's doing well.
He's out there kicking ass, and he's out there. He's a great public figure, and you guys are lucky to have him in the university or the college.
Yes, we are. And, you know, I think, obviously, Rob Esch has done a lot of great things with the Comets down at the Odd, but it was Utica College, really, that revived the Odd down there and got people used to coming down to the.
And Rob Esch will say that too.
Yeah, right. And, you know, but Rob Esch has done a great job of getting that state funding down there in the Odd. And what a facility to have in any city at any level. And we have it here for Utica College and, you know, AHL hockey. So that's great.
Awesome.
Well, I think both the college and the Comets work off each other greatly.
I think so too.
Like, they bring the excitement of hockey to the area, you know, and they feed off each other well. And then you get these guys, you know, coming up, these college kids playing, and, like, they see all the success that's happened in the Comets, and that makes it, like, doable. It makes it, like, you know, like, gives them something to strive for, you know, like, that they could keep on playing, you know. So I like it. I wish Utica accepted football quite the same way.
No, the games are pretty busy.
I think we get some good crowds here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean more for like semi-pro.
Yeah, okay.
Things of that nature. Right. Not college, but semi-pro and things like that.
Yeah, the couple of UC games that I've been to, football games, have been busy. There's been a lot of people there, and it's a good atmosphere. Like, people are hanging out, and it was just a good vibe, and energy was cool.
Yeah, great facility too down there. Yeah.
And Blaze is doing an amazing job over there.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And they did pretty well this year, right?
Tough record this year. Two years ago, we went seven and three and lost in the bowl game. This year, I think we were 3-7, and but you know, we could easily have been 6-4. You know, a couple of games came down the wire, and you know, that's the way it is. Sometimes you make the play some games, and sometimes you don't. But Blaze does a great job. He's a builder of community. His kids are good kids on the team. They work hard in the weight room. He's got great assistants, and you know, he's been here a while now, and you know, he likes it here. You know, he's an Italian guy, loves East Utica. You know, he's from Rochester originally, but he's definitely hanging out with the right people in town. And
there's a million restaurants for him. Take your pick.
Yeah, no question about it. So, but Blaze does a good job.
Absolutely. Does he take from local, right? I mean, I feel like now that the tuition has gone down, local enrollment should be up, right?
Yeah, no question about it. Yep, because, you know, going to Utica College now is as affordable as going to a state school. So. Uh-huh. We definitely, you know, many of our students come from the Mohawk Valley, Oneida County, Herkimer County, et cetera. So, but the college is doing well, enrollment's going well, and looking for a bright future.
Yeah, that's awesome. Go UC, go Pioneers,
I think that's probably one of
the
best things they could have done was lower that tuition.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, absolutely. Like, bring more people in. Like, we were talking yesterday where now you got kids that could go and afford to be there that, you know, could contribute to sports and, you know, get in there and create a little bit more competition.
Right. Well, President Casamento, her goal is to improve retention and graduation rates at Utica College. So everything we do there is designed to not only attract students, but to keep them and make sure they graduate in 4 years. So
stay on them.
That's awesome. Yeah, a lot of personal attention.
Yeah.
That's our motto up at the college. So.
Oh, that's a good motto.
Yeah.
What's the enrollment over there right now?
We have about 2,300 undergraduates, but we have a lot of graduate and online programs. So we have about 5,000 students total at Utica College. So every year we've pretty much had enrollment record every year since President Hunt was here at the college and now President Casamento.
I feel like it's going to go up even more after that.
Well, I think Utica, New York in general, I mean, you guys know better. You've been here long enough. I mean, I think there's definitely a positive vibe going on. You know, we have a space downtown now, our business school was moved downtown to 181 Genesee Street. We have 400 students a day coming down, taking classes at the college. And, you know, obviously across the street there, Landmark Building, what they've done is great. And there's a lot more, I think, development going on downtown.
There's finally some action downtown.
Yeah.
And the Odd looks great, like we mentioned before.
Yeah.
And now the Doubletree at the Hotel Utica looks great in there.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, Landmark and Ocean Blue, what Francis has done over there. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And Utica College going downtown was a tremendous idea.
Yeah.
Like, it's a no-brainer to have 400 kids in and out of downtown. And downtown's active now. It's vibrant. People are moving. You see a little hustle and bustle going on.
I think there's a little traffic going on down there, too.
Yeah.
That's what you know when you're
in
real city.
About time.
The best thing I love about living in Utica, though, is the lack of traffic.
Yes.
Anywhere, I do a lot of traveling, and it's like, how do people live like this? I don't understand how they do it. But that's the best thing about living here is, you know, you can get to anywhere you want to get to pretty quickly. And that's, you know, maybe a minute. You know, we call it the rush minute here, right, instead of the rush hour. So,
no, you're right, though. We say that all the time, especially on this podcast. We say it a lot. Yeah. Like, one of the main reasons, not only the food culture, yeah, and there's a good nightlife, too, but no traffic.
Yeah.
No traffic.
I like the idea of the kids being downtown, too, because they're going to hoof it. You know, they're going to go over there, they're going to check out the pizzerias, they're going to check out the local shops.
They're going to go to Bite Bakery and,
right, you know, exactly. Go get their coffee down at Utica Roasting and things like that. And I like the idea because there's not a lot of foot traffic in downtown right now. Right. And that brings a lot of people down there and helps these other businesses around there.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, a lot of action going on. And there's more coming, too.
Right.
I feel like there's going to be a lot more coming, and this is just scratching the surface, so. A lot of action is happening. And, like, the whole vibe of Utica has changed. It's, like, less negative and more positive. Right. And the other thing, a lot of kids are staying in town.
Right.
You're not going out of town to go to college. You're either going to MV or Hamilton or coming to UC, and they're staying in town, and they're doing positive things in the community. It's beautiful to see.
I mean, obviously, Varick Street is, you know, doing well down there and everything. Yeah. So,
yeah. You know, there's, like, they're starting to develop these little pockets in town, which was needed. You know, you go to any major town, there's pockets. There's your nightlife district, your, you know, your art district or whatever. And it's starting to build around here, too.
Right.
It's a cool town we live in, man. I love this town, you know.
Right.
Love to hate it, hate to love it. you know.
But it's nice to see that people are making changes.
Right.
You know, things are happening. I mean, the harbor. I mean, there's tons of, you know, hotels going up down there.
Yep.
And, you know, you see movement. Like, the arterial project.
Yeah.
Right.
It looks great when you're driving over there. I'm like, holy cow, this is starting to look like a city.
Yeah.
You know, and it's starting to look good. And when the city looks good, people start feeling better. People feel better about their city. They feel more energized. They don't feel like, oh, shut the lights off. Let's, you know.
Right. Last one out.
Shut the lights off, you know. People are sticking around, like you said. And we see a lot of younger people starting their own businesses in this area, services and whatnot. And, you know, it's a good feeling. You know, it's a good feeling seeing some movement in this town.
Right.
You know, the skyline's changed, too. There's actually brighter lights now. And. Right. You know, nighttime, you can see different lights in the Utica light, in the Utica club light. And then, you know, even the state office building has the lights wrapped around and the double tree in the bank. And
Bank of Utica put that nice little landmark up, steeple up there.
Yeah. They're supposed to have like a New Year's Eve drop eventually down the road.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like a ball dropping from there.
The
Bank of Utica, yeah. That was the rumor. I don't know if it's 100% true, but that would be super cool.
Which is one of, like, the only two local banks, the Adirondack Bank and Bank of Utica, are pretty much the only local banks left.
Yeah.
Which
good
is
good people at both banks. Now, you know Barry, right?
Very well.
I think you introduced me to Barry Sitt.
Did I?
And we become good friends at the college with Barry and his dad over there.
Oh, great,
so,
great,
yeah,
good.
Great people.
Absolutely.
I mean, they talk about loving Utica, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad. I'm so happy that somebody finally sponsored the yacht.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Absolutely. Hats off to Adirondack Bank for finally doing it. I mean, it looks amazing, and it gives credibility. Like, you go to any stadium in any town, it's not like the Utica Odd. And people are complaining, like, it's not the Utica Odd anymore. I'm like, it sounds so much better now. It actually gives a little, like...
I'm surprised it took as long as it did.
I did, too. That was one of my biggest... hang-ups. It was like, why aren't they
selling
sponsoring this?
Yeah. Somebody should be selling this.
Oh, definitely pretty cool to have that the Adirondack Bank name. Obviously, we're good friends with Tom and Rob Clark and Rocco Arcuri down at that bank as well, and they're great for the community. Both Bank of Utica and Adirondack Bank really care about the community and support the community. And
it shows.
You know, definitely have add some big-time value to the odd now with Adirondack Bank's name on it.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And that Adirondack Bank sponsors Aaron Hamlin as well. And how about that? The news with Aaron Hamlin last night.
I missed it.
Aaron Hamlin is going to be the flag bearer for the Olympics in the opening ceremony.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's carrying the flag.
That's awesome.
How awesome is that? Congratulations to Aaron. Love that girl. She's awesome. Good friend. And I'm so proud, you know, is so proud to
And we
see
got to interview her at the Adirondack Barbecue Fest.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
So Aaron's good people and so proud. So hopefully she can take home a medal this
year.
That'd
be nice,
you know?
Right? Yeah.
It'd be great.
That'll put Utica on the map, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Well, when she won the bronze, it did too.
Right.
And she was, I want to say she was the very first person ever to medal in luge in the United States.
I think you're right.
First person, a man, male and female.
Yep.
I think she won, so out. It's awesome. What she was telling us when we interviewed her at the barbecue fest is after this she's done and she might go into broadcasting. She might be into like doing the luge broadcast.
Sure, that'd be awesome.
She'd be on the track with the wireless microphone and stuff. And I was like, I totally see you doing that.
Right.
She'd be perfect for that. So Tim Nelson joining us from Utica College. Now I want to go back a little bit to Syracuse. I want to talk Syracuse athletics with you because you've been following Syracuse since you've been there. What made you go to Syracuse, first of all?
Well, interesting story, Z. When I was graduated from high school in Yorktown, my older brother was entering his senior year at North Carolina State in Raleigh, and that's where I went my freshman year. I pretty much, almost got a full ride to go there and play with my brother. So I played with my brother 1 year down there. He was a senior. I was a freshman. And then they discontinued lacrosse.
Oh,
they dropped
wow.
the lacrosse program. And I was not recruited from Syracuse out of high school, but one time I got home from working a summer job, and my younger brother, I can still remember it. I walked in the house. He goes, the Syracuse coach called. I go, Syracuse? And next thing you know, he came down to see me that summer, and I transferred my sophomore year to Syracuse, and then I played there 3 years. So recently, a guy named Paul Carcaterra, who went to my high school at Yorktown, then followed me to Syracuse. He works at ESPN now. He does a color commentary for lacrosse games on ESPN. And he writes for Inside Lacrosse Magazine. Anyway, he did us the 20 biggest things ever to happen to Syracuse University lacrosse. And number one was winning the national championship in 1983. And 1A was when Tim Nelson transferred to Syracuse.
Come on.
Because the year before I got there, they didn't make the playoffs. And I came in my first year, and I was kind of like the missing piece. I was a quarterback, point guard. I was a distributor of the ball,
right.
And they had plenty of guys that could score. They just needed somebody to, distribute the ball, kind of like John Stockton in lacrosse and basketball, if you will, So, but anyway, pretty much anything that's happened to me after then it was because of that. I mean, I can't go anywhere and people don't bring that up to me and, help me get the job at Utica College. And, it's helped in all areas of my life. So I'm very grateful and fortunate to have been on that team.
Yeah. Now, when you were there, you were there in the middle of Pearl Washington, right? That was Pearl's years.
I was, yeah.
Did Pearl, you know Pearl at all?
Pearl lived, I lived in the Skytop apartment buildings, and he lived a couple doors down from me, so didn't see a lot of him, but I knew Pearl a little bit, and I know you told me to come prepare with my all-time starting five for Syracuse basketball. So
we talk about that a lot on here.
He would be the point guard. Yeah. Pearl would be the point guard, but I would say, and he's not my sixth man because you told me to pick a sixth man, but this guy deserves recognition too. Obviously, there was a lot of great Syracuse basketball players before I got there in 1982, right? But I got to go with what I know.
Right.
And I think, the backup point guard would be Sherman Douglas.
Yeah, I love Sherman Douglas. Yeah,
and who had a better NBA career than the Pearl did.
That's, I kind of, when I put my team together, Sherman Douglas was my point guard. Only because I didn't grow up watching Pearl.
Right.
I grew up watching Sherman Douglas with the alley-oops and everything.
He was the king of the alley-oop.
Yeah, he was.
He'd be able to alley-oop from half court.
I seen him alley-oop from half court.
Right.
I've seen him do that.
But the Pearl, nobody did more for SU basketball game than Pearl Washington.
Put him on the map.
Yeah,
he really did.
And he came in the right time. That was just when the dome was built, pretty much. And ESPN started and the Big East basketball.
And they were married to each other.
Blew up. Yeah. The whole thing blew up. Yeah.
So. How do you feel about Syracuse not being in the Big East?
Well, Mike, it's all about the money, not going to the ACC was not an option financially, But I think the rivalries of Georgetown, Syracuse, St. John, Syracuse, those were the real rivalries that I think that have,
Well, even at Connecticut, too, there are some really good schools in that division.
Yeah.
I was sad to see them go out of the Big East, but now they get to play Duke, and I kind of like that building rivalry, although this year, probably won't compete too well, but last year, years past, I mean, it's fun to see them go against Duke, North Carolina and some of these schools,
I think a lot to do with the football, too, the football conference as well.
Football makes more money.
Right. Right,
that's what it comes down to.
Well, not at Syracuse. Well, they get part of that football. How many teams go to the end? The playoffs. The more money you get in football, so they get a lot of money because ACC football has been pretty good these days, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. With Clemson and everything. So.
Yeah, Clemson.
Speaking of the big win for Syracuse football this year over Clemson.
Huge win. Yeah. Huge. I think Dino Babers is doing a good job.
Yeah, he's the right coach, I think.
I think so.
And, you know.
Do you think he stays?
Well, I think because they had a poor year this year, probably kicked them around. You know, if they would have beaten Clemson and won, had a winning record and went to a bowl game, you know, then he's, you know, then it's a lot different. But this, he's 2 years now, right? So
2 years, yeah.
He's coming back for third. But
we've seen what happened with Doug Marrone. I mean, he brought him basically to, what was it, even, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, he did a good job, Doug Marrone. He was a good coach. And now we see what he did with Jacksonville.
Right.
And he did a good job with Buffalo before he left Buffalo there. So
he was a one and done with Buffalo.
That's what scares me is, like, you know, like SU, they finally get a good coach and they start moving, make movement. And then everybody else wants to hire that coach away.
Right.
And it's just like, I don't know. Like, I would love to see him stick, you know what I mean, and stay and get those recruits and then really build a great organization there. But it's tough when people throw you money and they want to go to a bigger school or pros or things like that. It's really hard to say no.
Right.
You don't get the Sabins in Syracuse.
That's true.
Know?
Yeah, I don't think this is Dino Babers' last job. But hopefully he'll stick around, because I agree. I think he's, you know, done a lot for that program and created some excitement over there, and he's doing the right thing, I think, on the field too. So
yeah. Hopefully he sticks around. I think he's doing an amazing job, and it's tough. Being a college football coach has got to be tough.
Right.
I mean, look at you coached for years.
Yeah.
You know, you're managing all these kids. Yeah. You're developing these kids. They're just coming out of high school,
right.
Like they're away from home for the first time, and all they want to do is either party or, you know, they want to screw off a little bit. So it's got to be tough.
Yep.
I mean, how did you deal with it, being a coach all those years?
Well, you know, you hire good assistants too, right? Mm-hmm. You got to do that, and then hopefully you have good seniors and good captains. And, you know, I used to tell the guys, we're giving you some rope. Don't hang yourselves with it, type of thing, you know, and you got to treat them like men. And, you know, I don't want to get into the 21 drinking age, but I personally think that's an issue. I wish, you know, the drinking age was, you know, lower so we could talk to people about being responsible with alcohol. And, you know, you really can't talk to a kid under 21 around because they shouldn't be drinking, type of thing. But that's a whole nother story. But, you know, I think you got to give kids an opportunity to make mistakes, as long as it's not a pattern of behavior. You know, it's we would give kids second, third, and sometimes fourth chances to get it right, because, you know, college is about learning as well. So,
yeah.
How do you feel about, like, these kids? I know this is kind of like a big buzz thing, you know, with the NCAA, you know, not letting these kids go out and get a job and not being able to let them accept any kind of money. How do you feel about that? Like, do you think that's something that needs a change? Or
I think maybe in, you know, obviously, the problems going on in Division I basketball right now with, you know, the Louisville situation and the paying the money and things like that. So, you know, I do believe a kid on a full scholarship is getting free tuition, free room, free food. I believe there's some changes afoot that are trying to help students with that additional money. So, personally, I think if a guy's getting the full scholarship, there is a rule now where I think they get a little extra food money too. Mm-hmm. I know at Syracuse they have a grab and go. Like during the day, you can just go down to the athletic center and grab some food and go above and beyond your regular meal plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're starting to move in that direction. I think it's a bigger problem in sports like football and basketball, where all these people are making all this money, but the players aren't, you know.
Right.
You know. So I think, you know. But again, they are getting a free college education, and if they make the most out of that, hopefully they'll have a good opportunity in college and in life. So
yeah, and you got to think the value on that. I mean, $20,000, $40,000 a year for tuition and stuff like that, and so on and so forth. So that adds up, of course.
Oh, I get it from that aspect.
Like you said, it's all what they make of it too.
Right, right.
But when you got other kids around, you know, being able to go out and hang out with their buddies and have a little extra spending cash and things like that.
Right.
You know, yeah, they get their meals and they're bored and, you know, they're getting their tuition paid for. But we're talking about kids are like 17, 18, 19 years old, you know, and like they want a little extra cash, you know, like you want to go out and get a job and things like that. But I also understand it's easier ways to funnel money through for like boosters and stuff. So it's a real sketchy area. You know what I mean? Like I think some of these kids, maybe it's a work program through the schools that they can get involved in and get paid like that.
Right.
So it's funneled through the school and not funneled through an outside source. But
well, they can work in the summertime too.
They can.
Yes, they can work. Okay, in the summer. It's just during the school year that they're not able to you know. But good
so
point.
Many rules.
Yeah, right.
There's just so many rules they got to follow.
Well, I think it would be so much less violations.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? If they kind of gave these kids a little pocket change.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's all it takes. I mean, you're talking about these kids that, like, a lot of them grew up pretty poor.
Right.
You know, when you talk about football and basketball and things like that. And, you know, you see everybody, you know, they got extra cash and they want to go out and do stuff. They're young kids.
Right.
And then they go into the sketchy areas. You know what I mean? So I just think, like, if we offered them an opportunity to make a little extra cash on the side, then there won't be so many violations.
Right. No, you're good.
Because you can ruin your whole career by doing something stupid in college. Right. You know?
Well, I know there's a move in the foot to start looking at those issues, because there's a lot of people making a lot of money, but the guys kids that are playing, they're not, you know.
Right. Yeah. There's so many violations. I feel like every school is on some kind of sanctions now.
Right.
And they're on some kind of probation because, you know, they gave this kid money, or there was an outside source funding this, or boosters or whatever, you know.
Stop taking wins away from people. That drives me insane. It's not fair to the coach. It's not fair to the other kids that played that didn't violate anything. You know what I mean? So now you're taking wins away. No, find that coach if he violated something. You know, find these players or suspend some of the players. But don't take wins away from a team.
Right.
You know, because of a couple individuals did some bad things.
They didn't even really do bad things. They were just ineligible for, like, you know, academic reasons or something like that. It's not like they did something bad.
Right. I mean, that specific with Boeheim. But study. I'm saying, like, other coaches that might have, you know, gotten whacked with things, you know.
Right.
And I think that's terrible. Like, you know, you don't see it in the NBA. All of a sudden, like, oh, well, so-and-so did this, so we're going to take the basketball championship. We're going to take the Super Bowl away from them. You don't see that. And I think it's BS. You know what I mean? I think they need to change that. And it's just not fair for everybody involved. I think, like, there's a lot of great kids that went out there and played their asses off and did the right thing, and now they're getting those taken away from them.
Yeah. I agree. I can agree with you there. The other thing that aggravates, too, this happens a lot in basketball, is the one-and-dones.
Mm.
Don't you think there should be some kind of stipulation that, like, you have to stay, like, a year or two? Or what do you think?
Well, I think there used to be a rule like that. And, you know, I think what happens with those one-and-dones, they come in the fall, they go to class, and then once the spring semester rolls around, they don't go to class anymore because they know they're not going to come back the second year or so. Yeah, I think, you know, a place like Kentucky, I think they're specifically going there to go to the NBA. They're going to play 1 year and then go to the NBA, you know. So, yeah, I don't like it. You know, I think that – who was it? With Villanova won last year, but pretty much because they had a lot of older players.
Yeah.
Their kids don't, you know, go one and done type of thing. So.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about this tons of times, like in Syracuse, like all the guys were one and dones. If they had stuck around – we'd be looking at multiple championships.
I think so, too.
Absolutely.
Right. But, you know, you go to college to get a career and make money, right? So,
right. You
know, if they, you know, let's hope they, when they make that money, they're smart with it so they're not unemployed, because that's what happens to a lot of these guys. They graduate, you know, they go on after 1 year, they make all this money, and then they're broke 10 years later.
Yeah.
And then some of these guys, they go to the pros, and they're just not ready.
Right.
They're, like,
there's
Michael
so
Carter many. Williams, I know he's doing okay in the NBA, but, like, I felt like he needed another year to grow as a leader.
We could do a whole nother podcast of all the Syracuse guys that have left early and that couldn't make it in the NBA.
Yeah,
you know, there's a list, long list.
But it's good to see guys like Deion Waiters out there playing his ass
still
off.
Still doing it,
you know? Yeah. And there's a few of them out there still in – but I just felt like, man, a lot of these kids, they go out and try to go into the NBA, and they're not ready yet.
Right.
And you just wish that, like, somebody told them, like, dude, you're not ready. Like, Michael Carter Williams.
I think they do tell them. It's just what's in their head. And plus, like you said earlier, too, a lot of these kids are inner city kids. So they see dollars, they're going to take it. They, you know, they're going to want to,
like,
buy their
Green
mom a house or buy a brand new car or something. You know,
it's the way it is. It's a shame because, like, I think he could have been more special.
Who, Dante Green?
No, well, Dante Green, but I also think Michael Carter-Williams specifically, the way his size is, the way he played. I thought he, like, the freshman year, I thought he was sloppy. I thought his passes were sloppy. He was, towards the end of the year, he cleaned it up a little bit, but, like, he never got to be the leader of the team. And when you're the leader of that team, you play a little harder. You know what I mean? You know how to become a leader. You know how to, like, fight. And when you go in the NBA and you've never been that leader, you're always just going to be a role player. You know what I'm saying? Like, one of the best leaders, I think, in SU, and he was on my list, is GMAC. You know what I mean? Like, this guy had heart. He knew how to be a leader. And that's why I was always shocked that no team ever took a chance on him in the NBA. I understand he's undersized, but man, the guy dropped, what, 7-9 three-pointers in the championship game? I mean, he was huge.
He was a leader, too.
He definitely was a leader. And like, a guy like that, I want on my team.
I'm glad you bring him up. Do you think he takes over for Bam?
GMAC?
Yeah.
Don't you think
he should?
I think he should.
I think so, too. I think he's, like, next in line now that Hopkins is gone.
And Boeheim loves him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I remember when people were trashing GMAC, you know, after he hit, like, three game winners in, like, in a row.
Yeah.
And like, he just had no feet left. I mean, because they went, like, multiple overtime games.
Right.
And he was, how dare you trash this kid? Yeah. You know what I mean? And for Boeheim to really come out there, and Boeheim's usually pretty blah when he does interviews. Right, you know what I mean? For him to be fired up,
he was fired up over that kid,
and I agree, man. Like, he showed so much heart. There's no championship without GMAC. Absolutely. Everyone says Carmelo, or, you know, whatever, Hakeem Warwick and all these guys. But everything went through, you know, GMAC. I mean, the guy was stellar.
He was. Let's go to your list, actually. Your all-time Syracuse starting five. We did mention Pearl earlier.
Yep, Pearl's definitely a point. Sherm's right behind him. Again, I'm going with that. What I know, for my two guard, I'd have to go number one because he's the all-time leading scorer, and plus he's got a great nickname, Lawrence Poetry and Moten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, number two, number three, you got to go with Melo, right? You got to go with Melo.
Got to have Melo. Absolutely,
everyone's gonna have Melo.
And big forward, power forward, I go Derek Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the center, it's kind of a sentimental pick for me, but I used to play pickup hoop with this guy when I was at Syracuse a little bit, and Ronnie Cicely.
Oh, yeah?
Remember Ronnie Cicely? Yep. He had a great career.
Yeah. He had a great NBA career, too.
He long time with the
he was an all-star.
Yeah. And he's doing a little mixing music now and stuff. He's got this little business, I guess, that he does. I saw him on Facebook. I got to let you know about it. Yeah, he's got this little – I don't know what kind of music he's doing down there in Miami, but – but then my sixth man would be GMAC, though. When you got to bring somebody off the bench to fire up some threes, you know, plus with his legacy at the Cuse, you got to put him in there. Another guy's honorable mention, you know, you got Dave Bing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you got to put him on. Leo Routens.
Yeah.
Louie and Bowie show, right? Roosevelt Bowie and Louis R., two great players. So Shackelford, you're a good guy, had a good career.
Former guest on the show, I had him on the show over the summer. Yeah.
Billy Owens.
Billy Owens was a great player. Yeah, and his brother actually played football at Syracuse.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Billy Owens, he was a very good player. He was smooth.
Smooth player. Another long NBA career.
Yeah.
Played with Golden State for years.
Yes, I always expected more out of Billy Owens, though. I expected him to really be like an all-star. And like, he was so great in college. And like,
the first half of his career was pretty decent, but
decent. But I expected, like, when coming out, like, he was great. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he was great college ball.
Great college ball player. Absolutely. And I thought it was going to transition to the NBA a little bit more. Like, I expect him to be more All-Star games. I mean, Derek Coleman and Cicely made the All-Star and whatnot, but I always thought Billy Owens was a little bit better. Like, Coleman was great. You could throw it up and whatever, but he got lazy.
Yeah.
You know, and he had a temper. Whereas, like, Billy Owens could do everything Coleman could do, but with a better attitude and a little bit more energy, I thought.
Right.
Billy's a great ball player. What about who's your starting five, Chicken?
I got to go Sherman Douglas and GMAC at point. I have to. You got to put, Melo in there. Derek Coleman. And then Cicely.
Cicely.
I loved that team growing up, man.
Right.
That was the team that, alley-oops, and they should have won a championship. They should have won multiple championships. So I really loved that team. And I would love to see, like, Melo playing with, like, guys like Coleman and Cicely there, just in case he did miss once in a while. He had guys that put it right back to him, which I thought they didn't have quite as much with the championship team that they had. Hakeem Warwick was great. I mean, I loved watching Hakeem Warwick, but he was, like, kind of like a one-trick pony. Like, he would just dunk from wherever he was.
But he had a great wingspan.
He did.
When
he rejected that shot.
In the national championship.
Oh, my God. I lost my freaking mind. All of a sudden, you see him like, no, boom! I'm like,
easy.
Yeah. Sorry, I still get excited seeing it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just seeing his hand come out of nowhere and just reject that ball.
My starting five.
Classic moment.
I got to give you my starting five. So, Pearl all day. My two guard would be G-Mac. You know, like a sweet touch from there. Yep. Three guy would be Carmelo, Derek Coleman, and then John Wallace would be my starting center. Mm-hmm. Wallace, he brought us to the national championship in 96 against Kentucky. Like, he carried that team on his back that year. Right. He was unbelievable. And then my sixth man would be Lawrence Moten.
Okay.
I'd have all to put right, Lawrence so. Moten there. It would be a toss-up between him and Billy Owens. I like Billy Owens a lot, too. But Lawrence Moten, I still think, holds the Big East record for all-time scorer.
Yeah, yeah. Good scorer.
I think so.
Tough to keep a guy who can score on the bench, right?
Yeah. He was incredible, too. He wore the high socks, and he was recently in town, too. Our buddy Tommy Napoli brought him into Hall of Frames last year.
Oh, really?
And he was in town signing autographs and hanging out and stuff. So.
Now, he played in the NBA, too, right?
Lawrence Moten?
No.
If he did, it was for a minute.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm sorry, not Moten. Wallace, I'm sorry.
Wallace played with the Knicks for a minute, and then he was in the NBA for a while, actually. I want to say he had a good 10-year career. We were talking the other day, too, about the best high school basketball players ever to come out of the area. Can you think of a few high school? I know you didn't grow up here.
Well, I just had this in the Syracuse.
That's what sparked that conversation.
It was kind of amazing. You know, I guess I knew it, but the kid from who's playing for the Minnesota Vikings now. He was in there as one of the best all-time.
Murray.
Yeah.
The kid from the Vikings, the running back from the Vikings. Something Murray, right?
I didn't know he was from the area.
Yeah. I'll tell you,
Octavius Murray, yes.
When I was coaching lacrosse at Utica College, I went to see Onondaga High School play in the Carrier Dome because the quarterback was also a very good lacrosse player who played in the indoor world games that you worked at the Dome, this kid.
Oh, yeah?
In lacrosse. But anyway, the running back was a guy named Mike Hart.
Mike Hart.
I remember him.
He went out to Michigan, right?
Right. Ran out to Michigan, then played for the Indianapolis Colts for a while, and he was coaching at Syracuse, running backs coach, I think. But talk about what an unbelievable performance this guy had in the Carrier Dome in the Section 1 championship. But for basketball players, you know, I looked through that list. Obviously, Greg Paulus.
I forgot about Greg Paulus.
Yeah.
How about him, too? After he graduated from Duke, he came back and played starting quarterback for SU for that one year.
Well, CBA has very good athletics over there in Syracuse. You know, good football, good basketball. So, but, you know, I can tell you about who I play with in high school. We used to play Mount Vernon High School. If you don't know Mount Vernon High School, Google it. That's one of the best public high school basketball programs in the country. But they had this guy named Rodney McRae, who ended up going to play for the Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan and all those national championship teams. I played against him in high school, Section 1. Another guy named Clyde Vaughn went out to the University of Pittsburgh. But not totally real familiar. Who did they name the number one basketball player in that list?
I forgot, but Danny Shays was like number two.
Okay.
And then Dale Shackelford was like in the top 10. Dorsey Levins was in there.
Yeah, I saw him play football
his
sophomore year in high school at Coin Field. And I walked off to him. I said to myself, this guy is going to the show.
Well, if we're talking football.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking basketball. When Dorsey Levins played
basketball. He was one of the top 75 basketball players, Dorsey Levins.
And
the guy that plays football for the Minnesota Vikings, too.
Right.
So good athletes is what they were.
And then there was another guy back in the day, Bernard Blunt. He was unbelievable, who went on to play at St. Joe's University.
Yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
And he brought those guys to a tournament, an NCAA tournament. It was like their first tournament appearance in years, and he was incredible.
And we mentioned Babiars.
Babiars, right? And then there's a bunch of local guys, too.
Babiars played in our Utica College alumni game the other day.
Did he?
We needed some bodies, so he was there. So yeah, nice. He went on to play at Potsdam, I believe, right?
The Potsdam.
Yes.
And I want to say he was with the Knicks for a minute, too.
Okay,
right?
I think you're right. Yeah.
And then he went to Europe. I want to say he played in Europe for a while.
Right.
We've had a lot of talent coming in and out of this region.
Well, the kid from New Hartford, Frankie Policelli, he's the kid that was at New Hartford and transferred this year to Long Island Lutheran. I don't know if you know that name, but he's a D1 prospect.
Oh yeah,
everybody's been offering him. So
is he a big kid?
6'8".
Oh wow,
can shoot, can rebound, very good player.
Yeah.
So, but I think he might be waiting for Syracuse. I don't know. We'll see. But I know University of Washington. Last year, my son played basketball at New Hartford. Hopkins came to watch the practice when this kid was a junior. So this kid's the real deal. So
wow,
he'll probably be announcing soon. I think the spring signing date's coming up. So. Frankie Policelli. Yeah.
Frankie
he'll be a D1 guy.
We'll have to look out for that.
Yep.
I mean, notice these big guys are getting more agile and more athletic now, right?
Yeah.
These guys, they're 6'8", like LeBron. He brings the ball up. He could be the point guard.
Yeah.
He can play every position.
Look at Porzingis. I mean, the guy's, what, 7'2", and he's dropping three-pointers?
Yeah. He went down the other night. Yeah, he's done. Hurt. Oh, yeah. That's a shame.
That's the Knicks season, really.
Yeah, I love that kid, by the way.
Oh, he's great. Yeah.
He's fun to watch. But is he 7'2"? Is he that big?
Something like that. 7'1", 7'2". Yeah, he's huge.
And he's so agile.
Right.
How do you think that is? What is it? Just the training?
Good genetics and good genetics, too. Yeah. Let's face it, right? He had good genetics to start with. And, probably jumping rope, footwork, with lifting weights, training.
I also think in today's game, these kids grow up emulating some of these other players before them. And so they start young, like handling the ball and shooting and realizing they're not just going to be posting up. Years ago, like you were a center, you just posted up.
Right.
That was your whole thing, was rebounding and posting up and throwing it back to the guys that could shoot. Now these guys are out there, these 7-footers are out there dropping 3-pointers. They're actually teaching themselves that way.
Right.
You know, so they're not that goofy center anymore. You know, like the Craig Forth.
Well, the three-point line has done that, right? Everybody's pretty much got the green light now to shoot to three. And if you can shoot to three, it's a way to get out of the court.
Absolutely.
And these guys are pulling up from everywhere in the court.
They are, man.
Like it's Steph Curry. Like, that kid can pull up wherever he wants and hit. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
When you guys got, like, Anthony Davis hitting three-pointers.
Yeah, another one, too.
Yeah.
Like, and how big is Anthony Davis?
He's got to be
6'10", 6'11".
6'11", somewhere around there.
Almost 7 foot.
Cousins, Boogie Cousins that plays with him. I mean, these guys are almost 7 foot, and they're both hitting three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, I didn't know this guy. That was part of his game.
Who's the kid from Minnesota? Oh, Towns.
Towns.
He's another one, too.
The kid from the 76ers. Oh, my God.
Joel. Abib, yeah.
Yeah, this kid's a beast. I mean, he could play, like, you know, Lonzo Mourning, and then turn around and just drop a three-pointer. And you're like, wow. This guy's a beast. So I love seeing that. You know, I love seeing these guys. And I love seeing these players like Larry Johnson, Grandmama, you know, remember when he came in? He was predominantly a post-up player. And then as he got older, he developed a shot. And, he started hitting three-pointers and things like that. And I love when guys develop their game. You know what I mean? Like when Ewing came into the league.
They get smarter, right?
Yeah, like he was terrible. He couldn't shoot a free throw, had no jump shot. And over the years, he became a really good free throw shooter, and he developed some mid-range shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where he was just completely money at. And when you look at guys like Dwight Howard, who never advanced their game, and that's why Dwight Howard never evolved into who he could have been.
Is he still in the NBA?
Yeah, he is. Back in Orlando, I think.
Is he back in Orlando?
I believe so.
I haven't heard from him in a while.
What is he at Houston? I thought he went to Houston.
He was at Houston for a minute.
Yeah. I want to say he's back in Orlando. I'm not 100% sure. He was in Atlanta for a minute, too. But he's one of those guys I looked at. You had all the tools, dude. You had, I mean, the guy's a beast. But, like, he never developed a shot, never really advanced his game. But then when you look at guys like Karl Malone, another guy had no shot coming into the NBA. Now, then he developed a really good, shot.
Yeah.
And so I love when these guys develop their game, and keep advancing. Because that's how you're going to prolong your career.
If you had a chance to pick, you played three sports growing up. If you had to pick between basketball, football, or lacrosse to go professional, which one of the three would you pick?
Probably basketball would have been my, growing up, that was a sport that, I loved to play and played it all the time. And so I think basketball would have been, not football, right? I mean, the
shorter career.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, especially when I was a quarterback. I didn't like to get hit either. So, but basketball really was the sport, that helped me in lacrosse as well, because hand-eye coordination, a lot of the same movements. So, but I had a good run in my basketball career. I just could play college at a higher level than I could in basketball, lacrosse.
Yeah.
So,
how's my buddy Mikey P doing?
Mikey P's doing well.
You holding it down over there?
Yeah.
I seen him recently, and I told him, you got to come on my podcast.
Right.
He's like, hit me up. So I got to get him on.
Yeah, that'll be good. He'll like that. I'll get him on there. This year we're celebrating 18-19 school year, 20 years of varsity lacrosse at Utica College.
Wow.
So we're going to have some fun stuff and talk to Damon. He'll help us out.
Absolutely.
And we'll be all set.
What sport's been there the longest that you see? Baseball?
Baseball, probably.
Yeah, baseball.
Yeah, and basketball has been there a long time.
So, yeah. It's been some legendary guys coming out of UConn College. I mean, Larry Costello was a legend.
Yep.
He like coached Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I think he was in. He was in. Might have been the number one ranked high school basketball player in the Post Standard article.
Was it Larry Costello?
Yeah.
Was it?
He used to do a basketball camp.
Oh yeah.
Locally, my brother went a couple times.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
guy's a legend, man.
That's how I remember his name. Was because of the basketball camps.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of his players that came from Iowa. Graduated from Utica College in 1985, came here to play Division I basketball when we had Division I basketball for about 5 years at Utica College.
Really? Division
I? Yeah. That's why Larry Costello came to coach at Utica College.
Well, I did not know that.
Yeah. I think we had about a five-year period where we were Division I. But DJ Carson's in his name is, and I don't know if you know DJ.
I've heard that name.
Yeah, he's a big-time Division I basketball official. And he is, you know, he does Big Ten games. All over the country. He does about, you know, I don't know how many games, 100 college basketball games in a year or so. But he came here to, because of Division I basketball, stayed in the area from Iowa, and now is one of the top Division I basketball officials in the country right now.
Wow. Yeah. Local guy.
So, yeah.
I like that when local guys do good.
Yeah.
And we mention all the music talent on the show a lot, because usually this show's based around music. You know my background.
Right, sure.
So, and there's just so many great musicians, but when we touch on sports, we could go on and on and on of all the great athletes that have come out of this region.
And I think that's one that gets really missed a lot, is that there's so many great athletes that don't get talked about that much.
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel like some of these guys really deserve more attention. You know?
Yeah. Well, I know you said the Stanley. I mean, Stanley's getting more and more good shows down there, are they?
Yeah, Jerry's doing a great job.
Yeah, I think so. He's, I'm friends. I don't really know him that well, but I see him on Facebook, and just, you know, I hear more about the Stanley now than I ever did before.
We're killing it down there.
Yeah, good.
We're killing it. I'm actually happy. He called me up a few months back and was like, "Come on, I need you. Come work for me." I'm like, "I'd love to." You know, I love that building. You know?
No, it is.
So I go in during show days and we do our thing. I'm actually last to leave tonight. I'm going to be there till like 3 a.m. But anyways, I love it. I love the job. It's great. Yeah. The crew that I work with is unbelievable, and they're doing great things.
Yeah, they're doing great things.
And I should line you two up. You guys should know each other.
Yeah, I'd like to know Jerry a little bit better for sure.
You guys should know each other.
I know he's doing a good job. I mean, I know we've when he was at the Humane Society, we had. You know, he asked for some Utica College packages for auctions and things like that. So we helped him out with that. So that was my initial, introduction to Jerry. But no question about it. He's doing a good job. He's got a positive attitude.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and he loves the area.
Yeah, right.
He's a huge supporter.
And it's a great facility and a great building. And Utica's lucky to have it.
Yeah. So it is. It's a top-notch facility.
No question.
I've worked in every theater in upstate New York besides the Stanley until recently I got hired on. And there's nothing that compares.
Right.
Really. And we just recently got to the Capitol Theater down in Port Chester.
Yep,
you know
yep,
that area. Yep. Well, they rebuilt that. Peter Shapiro rebuilt that. What an amazing facility that is.
Right.
We get a chance to check that out. But that's a little bit smaller scale than what the Stanley is. Stanley's huge. And now that they put the money into it and it's a top-notch facility, there's a laundromat inside and, you know, there's a kitchen for catering and lots of dressing rooms. And the stage is huge and load in so much easier. You can pull in two trucks now. I mean, it's beautiful. What they did at the Stanley is amazing. We should give them a plug too, because they got a couple shows coming up. That he was like, "Can you plug me?" Of course, I can plug you. So tonight is Cinderella, and then they're doing a British Invasion with Joey Mullen from Badfinger, and that's happening on March 10th. And then Cirque du Soleil coming out March 11th, and then the big show is Daughtry. Yep. Chris Daughtry is going to be at the Stanley on March 29th. So I know a lot of ladies in the Utica area are really excited for that show.
Is he playing with anybody like?
Daughtry, I think he's with his band.
I mean, I didn't know if he had an opening act.
I don't know if there's an opening act. I don't know. I'll have to look into that. There should be. If not, I think he does like a 2-hour set.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of songs. He got a lot of hits out there. And it was him on The Voice or America's Got Talent or one of those. Voice.
No, I think it was not the other one. America's Got Talent.
The Voice.
No, the big one. American Idol.
American Idol. All right, it's hard to keep up.
I know they announced a show coming up, a good band that I like in the fall. You remember?
America?
Is it America? Yeah.
America.
I've got to go to that show. They're starting to get good shows like that.
Yeah, that's on May 11th.
Right,
that's May 11th
that
coming
calendar.
I'll put that on your calendar.
Get some tickets for that. Yeah.
That's going to be a good show. They got a couple other things they're going to be announcing too. And also our good friends at the brewery are going to be announcing a bunch of big shows. They announced Blues Travelers.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's going to be happening in August. And then also Revolution. Some reggae going to be happening at the brewery with Stephen Marley. Bob Marley's son is going to be happening.
At the brewery, that is.
That's happening at the brewery.
Don't forget May 12th. We're doing the flower.
And then that's the Flower Fest on Oneida Square. Yes. Yeah, we got, we're blocking off Oneida Square. Our good friend, in fact, we should line you up. Do you know Angela Johnson? BB Designs.
I don't know.
She's an amazing human being. And she's out there teaching kids doing art, and she does all these great fun events. And we should line you guys up with each other. She's doing this Oneida Square little project called Flower Fest, and there's going to be vendors. There's going to be a bunch of vendors and bands and stuff like that, and she's blocking off Oneida Square.
I think Oneida Square's making a little bit of a comeback.
It is.
Yeah, right.
It is.
Yeah, people knock the idea about the little traffic circle there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great.
I think it helped to beautify.
You know, I was one of those people that knocked it
yeah.
at first, but now it just keeps the flow of traffic going really well.
Do you remember what kind of a cluster it was? You had like lights everywhere, and you're like, is this my light? Is that their light? Like, and now there's no lights, and traffic just keeps moving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like people just got to learn how to drive in a circle.
Right, right.
But I think it's way easier.
But it's been beautified, I think, which is good.
Yeah, it looks good down there. And they're starting to boost it up. I like where
And you get the concerts at Levitt Park. Yeah, which have been great, you know, and it's great for that area too. Yeah, you know, everything happens like either downtown or Barrack Street or something like that, and it's nice to get more attention to that area too. You know, you got Munson right there, and you know, a lot of cool little shops right along there too that get no love. So
yeah,
you know,
it's Utica's cool. coming back, yeah, baby.
That's it.
It's Utica.
I think it's going to be start getting recognition nationally for a comeback city. I think so.
Is that a thing?
I think on Facebook they're always, you know, like Buffalo, I know, is getting a lot of positive coverage right now for their revitalization of their downtown area. You know, using the water there in Buffalo.
So Rochester looks great now.
Right, right. And I think Utica's. You know, Utica, and the thing is, we're at the foothills of the Adirondacks. You know, there's only, from what I understand, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this. There's only two Bass Outfitters in all of New York State, and one's in Utica,
and the other one's a Pulaski.
Is there one in Pulaski? I know there's one in Auburn, so maybe there's three now. But the fact that they would think about putting that store in Utica says a lot about Utica and what we have here, what we have to offer, right, with the Adirondacks right here. And
well, it's a no-brainer. I mean,
for Bass, it's a no-brainer, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
We got tons
there on 12.
Right,
boom.
Right up there.
You pick up and go.
Right, we got tons of lakes. We got tons of hunters and outdoorsmen. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
For the amount of snow we got to deal with in the wintertime, it makes up for it in the summertime.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because summertime and fall, too. I love fall.
Right. You can't take the eye of the Adirondacks in the summer and in the fall.
I love it. Right. It's absolutely beautiful. We had to get used to it, Adeline's saying. What is she saying?
About the circle.
About the circle?
Yeah.
She probably didn't like it either. I like it. I like the circle a lot.
And Oneida Square?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I think, like I said, I think it beautifies the area. That's what's good about it.
Now,
I like it ties it all together.
There was some discussion about putting another one right where Genesee Street meets Riskany Boulevard.
Yes, I did see that.
You know, I was wondering like how that would work out. I mean, that could be. I don't know about that because you do get a little traffic there when you get like the games and stuff. So I wonder how that would affect it with being a circle there.
Well, you can't take a left there now, can you?
No.
Yeah. So that might help you be able to take a left now if they did that. Right. You go around the circle and exit out.
Be interesting.
I like the flow of traffic.
I do. I like not having to sit at a light.
I mean, you go to all these other cities too. There's roundabouts all over in Buffalo and Albany and
Florida. I'm down in Florida a lot. Everything is that's all they're doing down there. So
yeah. Are you traveling a lot still?
I do. I get to Florida a lot. My parents live down there, and plus we have a lot of alumni down in Florida. And plus I like to go to Florida in the wintertime. So I get down there, but I do a lot of traveling for the college. Yeah. Pretty much mostly on the East Coast, but
I know they had you all over the place.
Yeah.
All over the place. I didn't know if it was still continuing or
you got to press the flesh, you know, you got to hit people where they live. So
press the flesh. I like press that. The How's the golf game, brother?
Well, I'm retired from golf.
Come on.
You're
retired from golf.
Well, it's funny. I thought you were going to ask me about, today's sports scene. And I don't watch a lot of sports on television, but the one sport I do watch is golf.
Yeah.
I like to watch golf.
It's one sport I can't watch.
I like watching the major events.
Yeah, and just like on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon in the middle of the wintertime, and they're somewhere warm with the water and the commentators. And I play golf. I'm not good at golf, and it's such a darn hard sport to be good at.
Yeah.
That watching these guys, not only when they're good, but sometimes when they're bad, I'm like, huh, see? You know, the guys hit the ball. Pros hit the ball in the water all the time.
All the time.
You know, I always end up drunk. I don't know.
Yeah, you got to have a lot of patience to be a good golfer.
You do.
Which I don't have a lot of. So
a lot of practice, too. Yeah. A lot of practice. That's a lot of time and energy putting into that.
Yeah. And I think the earlier you learn to play, the better off you are because you don't develop any bad habits as you get older. So.
Yeah. But. Yeah, that's what, like, I think we started off like right around the same time, didn't we? Playing golf?
Yeah.
And I love playing. Don't get me wrong. I've been playing for what, maybe 10, 12 years now or something like that. And I will never master it. And I know I will never master it, but I'm okay with that.
Right. That's good. That's where you can enjoy it.
But usually when I get into something, I got to get into it and get really involved. But where I've come to grips with my golf game. And I know I'm not going to be a pro at it, so I'm not going to like get obsessed with it.
I actually play better when we don't keep score. Like me and my buddy Rocco, we'd go out and like we wouldn't keep score. And it was like very, like first shot sucked, we'll drop another one. Like, you know, very relaxed. I actually end up playing way better. I think it's because I'm not so worried about how I'm going to hit it. And I end up doing a lot better. But if I keep score, I don't know. I think it just gets in my head. You know, I'm a terrible golfer as it is. But
well, some famous golfers said that golf's played between the 6 inches between your ears. You know, that's where golf is. It's a mind game.
I have a big head, so it'd be like 8 inches.
Yeah, I'd love to play, though. I really do. I wish I could play a lot more. Yeah. But if you got to have short-term memory with the golf.
Sure. Yeah.
You got to have short-term memory. Yeah. And playing scrambles. Actually, what I've been doing is the new technique is I've been playing scrambles with myself. So I'll hit two balls.
Sure, right.
You know, just drop down two balls. And me and Johnson do that all the time. We play scrambles with ourselves.
Oh, he doesn't get mad that you're not following the rules?
No.
He used to yell at me all the time. No, you're not supposed to do that. I'm like, dude.
Johnson, Mike, right?
Yeah.
How's he doing?
He's doing great.
Still down at Markham, is he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's still doing great. He comes on the show often, too. All right, we just recently had him on talking about health and fitness.
Yep.
Oh, very nice.
And football. Chicken Heads, a football podcast.
He was a three-sport guy, too.
Yeah. He was.
He's from Long Island.
He's a Long Island guy, and he was a great athlete.
Is he still 10 and bar anywhere?
Tony's up in Washington Mills, I believe.
I think he's there one night a week.
Yeah,
he's a referee, though. He does high school refereeing.
What sport?
He's doing girls basketball, and he also does soccer, and he's doing a bunch of stuff.
Good.
He's busy.
Good.
He's busy.
Eddie said her brother-in-law was a PGA golf pro. Talk about pressure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of time and energy to put in. You got to practice. Yeah. If you're going to be a pro, that's got to be your full-time job. Yeah. You
know? Golfing with Johnson was just like, talk about feeling inadequate.
Well, he taught me a lot, actually. I learned a lot from him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's a great instructor, great coach. And
you had Zurich, too.
Mike Zurich went on to win the City Pro-Am at one time.
Is that Paul Zurich's brother?
No, really. I think they might be cousins or something.
Z-U-R-E-K?
Yeah, he was my bartender for a while, too, if you remember Mike. He was an amazing golfer, and he was like that close to being pro.
Huh.
Yeah, he was doing really well. He's a scratch golfer, like even keel. Like, you watch him swing the club, and he'd make you sick. Right. You know, there's those guys that just like, Why can't I hit the ball? No,
like, screw up.
Man, never. Put the ball wherever they want. Yeah. I'm going to put it right there. It's going to be 6 inches from the cup. Okay.
Yeah.
And there it is.
So Johnson's like, I'm going to go over these trees. And I'm going to put it. I'm like, bullshit. And then next thing you know, boom, there he is on the green. I'm like, how the hell did you do that?
I will say this. I have beaten Johnson before.
Did you?
Yeah, I have beaten him before. That's actually been my... You know, claim the fame when it comes to golf. It's like, I beat Johnson today. He don't like to hear that.
No.
But it's very few and far between that I beat him. But there has been a couple times. Yeah. Nelson, this has been fun, man. I feel like you should come hang out some more. We'll talk sports.
No, I love it. Yeah, we'll talk music. Yeah, you got to talk about my musical taste.
Wow, what are you listening to these days? You listen to anything special, or are you still listening to the old classics?
Pretty much the old classics. Yeah. You know, Pandora, I love the Pandora music. So, you know, I'm a big Van Morrison fan, The Stones, Fleetwood Mac, Eric Clapton. You know, I saw John Mellencamp last year. I didn't see him in Stanley, but I saw him over in
Albany?
Canandaigua.
Oh, okay.
But I was there, and I saw... that Tom Petty played the week before, and I said to myself, I got to go out and see Tom Petty in concert. And then he passed away.
Yep.
That was a bummer, though.
He was on my bucket list, too.
Yeah. I mean, the older I get, the more I like the guy, you know, like a lot of these musicians.
Yeah.
That, you know, I mean, you know, so.
And Mellencamp's great too. I think Mellencamp gets lost in the shuffle.
It was a good concert. He was a good concert. Yeah,
like he's got a lot of hits out there that people forget about. And I mean, Mellencamp's been around forever. Back when he was Johnny Cougar.
Yeah.
Now Cougar's a horny old woman.
True, right?
Do you go out to see a lot of concerts?
Not as much as I want to start going to see. You know, I definitely want to, you know, get out to see more concerts. But you know, I love live music, as you know. That's how we met down at the EC. But yeah, I got music out. You know, I like to, you know, listen to music when I'm working out in the gym or riding a stationary bike or, you know.
So is that what you're listening to on the stationary bike? Pandora, like Fleetwood Mac or?
Fleetwood Mac, you know, and Van Morrison Station, The Stones, Clapton, Grateful Dead Station.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, when I was actually, I didn't, same thing with The Dead, I appreciate them more now than I ever did. When I really didn't listen to them a lot in high school or college. I mean, a lot of people I knew listened to them a lot, but, you know.
Isn't that funny how, like, as you go on in life, these bands actually start to grow on you? Like, that band for me is Lynyrd Skynyrd. Never really liked Lynyrd Skynyrd because Sweet Home Alabama was so pounded in your brain for so long on and classic rock radio.
Well, and also Freebird.
And Freebird.
Which Freebird is a great tune.
Of course, they just
overplayed it.
Right.
Just like Tuesday's Gone.
Right.
It's a great tune. I actually just bought, it's funny you brought Lynyrd Skynyrd. I just bought the Best Of compilations, two disc CD and everything. And I just put it in my phone. I listen at random. I'm like, who the hell is this? Sounds really good. And I'm like, holy shit, it's
Skynyrd.
You know what I mean? Like, and you just forget. You don't. There's a lot of songs that I've never realized, that I never even heard before. And so I'm being introduced to it like brand new. And I'm like, wow, this is really good. Like, I knew the classics.
Yeah, you know, of course.
Give Me Three Steps and all that stuff.
But not the B-sides.
Right.
Right, right.
Yeah. And it's great. And it's like, now I'm old enough and now I'm in that stage of my life where I'm into that more classic rock, Southern rock, stuff like that.
You're getting older, chicken.
Well, you know, I grew up with Seeger and Pink Floyd and Steppenwolf and stuff like that. So I love those bands. I love Bob Seeger.
Yeah, me too.
Just seen him in September with my mom.
Did you? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Seen him three times actually. I love it. I'll go see Seeger anytime. Yeah. But, you know, like, as you get older, you start like hearing these bands and you start like your tastes change. You know, you get a little more mature and you start listening. You're like, wow, that's actually really good.
Uh-huh.
Why haven't I not listened to this? So I've been finding myself going back and buying all these like classic rock albums and reintroducing myself like Tom Petty and some of these other guys that like I missed out on some of that stuff.
A lot of these bands are retiring too. Like Skynyrd, this is their last tour this year. They're all done after this. And Elton John's hanging it up.
Ozzy.
Ozzy's hanging up. Slayer's hanging up. Like all these bands now, they've had a long career. They're getting old and they're retiring. It's a shame.
Paul Simon.
So you got to get out there and see him.
Right. I was in Memphis, Tennessee this past fall. So, you know, home of the blues there.
Mm-hmm.
So I checked that out.
Go to Beale Street.
Yep, Beale Street. But, you know, it wasn't very big. I want to go back there when something's going on because that was definitely pretty cool. And another city I want to go to is Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Live music capital of the world.
You've never been?
I've never been. You've been?
No.
Me either.
Yeah, that's... on the bucket list.
Yeah, me too.
Is it South by Southwest?
That's usually right around St. Patrick's
Austin
Day.
Austin City Limits.
Both.
Yeah.
Well, they both South by Southwest. Austin City Limits is the venue and the show that they do.
Okay.
But South by Southwest, they do 2 weeks of that. They do the first week's like a tech week where they do like all the latest technology things that are hitting the market or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do also a movie type of festival too. And then the following week is the music.
You know, it's funny is we're talking about like all the music I took from my father. The other day I was watching Rock Legends. Sometimes what's weird is like my DirecTV the recorded stuff will like blend over my father's stuff. We're on two different accounts. I don't know how this happens. So I'm like, I'm going through and he had Guns N' Roses, you know, Rock Legend. I'm like, yo, man's listening. And he's like, he's got all my stuff, Ozzy Osbourne and stuff. Like, so as like, growing up, you know, Cracker, he listens to all this stuff that I grew up, you know, that I listened to, that I introduced him to. And it's kind of funny that like, he listens to my stuff, I listen to his stuff, and it's great. It's
funny how that works, too. Yeah, yeah. Me too, man. Like, I love my mom's music. My mom was big into Motown growing up, and Michael Jackson and Smokey Robinson and Diana Ross. And now I like, really appreciate it now. And then you just listen, and I listen to music, and I pick it apart. I can hear the guitar, bass. I like what this guy's doing, what that guy's doing. And you start hearing new things. I was like, wow, that guy's... That's amazing, you know. Right. You start picking up all these new things, and like when you hear a song, if you've heard it so many times in your life, then all of a sudden you find this new thing in the background, and then you fall in love with that song all over again.
Or if you see them live, like you heard a song a million times on the radio, but then you see it live, and just the energy they put in it live, you're just like, wow, I love this song all over again.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. Music, it's our best friend, man.
I love music.
It's what keeps us going. Yeah. We got to get together, though, this summer and maybe catch a couple shows at the brewery or,
you got it.
Or something. It would be fun to get together and hang out for a little bit.
I love that these stadiums, too, like these football stadiums and stuff, they updated their playlist. You know, now you're hearing like Guns N' Roses. I mean, you always heard GNR, like Welcome to the Jungle, but now you're hearing like I'm hearing Pantera. I'm hearing like newer bands, you know, like coming out, and you're like, wow, this is actually jamming. They're actually playing some really good music here. And before it was always the jock jams. You know, that's all you ever heard was jock jams in the stadiums. But it's nice that, you know, when you get to play regular people music that people are into, and then gets a crowd going, gets the players going. You know, I think that's cool that they finally decided to revamp their playlist.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Music is our best friend. Of course. So we better hit it out of here. I got to go to work in a little bit. I got to work tonight. I'm pulling double duty today. I'm doing it all. And last night I was at the bar, and we had the cast and crew from Cinderella in the bar last night. So
very nice.
They were all kind of hanging out. And
did you work last night?
No, I worked. Wednesday nights I'm still at Griffin's, actually. Yeah. So I'm still over there.
I know.
One night a week. I love it. It still keeps me active. I like bartending, right, you know.
Yeah. Well, I saw on social media that they kept saying that Cinderella was still on. So I'm glad to see.
Great turnout last night.
Well, I think the weather was not as bad by that time, which is good. Yeah.
And the plows were able to get out.
Well, how often does Cinderella come to Utica, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Nelson, thanks for coming. This has been fun, man. If you got anything you want to plug, you want to plug websites or anything
You know, just come on down and we'll see a Utica College game, or come on up to campus sometimes for a campus tour. I'll let Z know, and I'll give everybody who wants a tour of the campus. So you let me know, Z.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's a great campus, too. Yeah. I feel like it's growing, too.
Yeah, no question about it. We are
not either, not by population, but like construction-wise.
Yeah, a lot of new facilities there, and we have a couple of new facilities in the works that hopefully are going to start breaking ground in 18 and 19. Nice. So,
and you guys got the Heart Walk. That's the center for the Heart Walk.
Thanks for bringing it up.
First weekend in May.
March.
First weekend in March. Thank you.
I wish it was in May. It would be a little bit warmer.
Well, last year was freezing. But you walk, right? Do you do the hot run every year?
Yeah, I do the walk. And something I want to tell you, we were talking a lot about basketball. The radio play-by-play guy for the Golden State Warriors, a guy named Tim Roy, R-O-Y-E, is a Utica College grad.
And Adonna Foyle is also working for the Golden State Warriors, too.
From Hamilton.
Graduated in 95. He was
Colgate,
a
man
amongst boys, that guy.
Yeah, he was one of the top players in Section 3.
I want to say number.
And now Golden State's the number one team, I mean – they're champs.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So that they're getting listened to.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, Tim Roy was back on our campus last fall. He gave the convocation opening of the semester speech, and was on campus for a couple of days and met with a lot. And follows all you see on Twitter. He's on Twitter, so Tim Roy. Follow him on Twitter. He's always retweeting Utica College stuff, so good guy.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. And is he a local guy, or he just decided to come to Utica College?
He just came to Utica College. I don't think he's from Utica. I think he was from elsewhere. I want to say Connecticut, maybe, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah. And he's got a Donald Foyle with him, too.
That's awesome.
Donald Foyle was an amazing high school basketball player.
Yeah.
The kid was 7 foot in high school. He was a man amongst boys.
I played a little tiny Hamilton High School, too, right?
Right.
C or D.
Graduated with like 40 kids. and there he was, and he just dominated everybody. Took all those Class D schools right out. It's like Godzilla to those kids.
Right.
No, for real, though. He's just unbelievable. But, Nelson, thanks again for coming in. We got to give some love and respect out to the sponsors. We got to give some shout-outs to our boy Josh Imodio. Call Josh at 315-525-8725. Priceless Inspections. If you want to, you know, get your home ready for sale, Josh will come in and inspect it. If you're looking to buy a home, Josh will come in and inspect it, make sure everything's up and running. Detailed reports, pays attention to details, takes his time, and he does it right. Construction is in his blood. So make sure you give Josh a call today at Priceless Inspections, 315-525-8725. And also big ups to our property sisters over at Property Sisters of Mohawk Valley, Adeline and Patty and Lori. They're doing great things out in the community.
Nice.
Selling a lot of real estate, doing it up. The market right now in Utica, believe it or not, it's blowing up. It is blowing up. She's super busy right now in February. That's unheard of.
I remember last year she was like, oh, it's really slow. Now she's... You're killing it.
They're blowing up. And a lot of good things are happening around Utica, and they're all in the middle of it. So give the Property Sisters of Mohawk Valley a call. And you can reach them at the Coldwell Banker Faith Properties, too.
Right. You want to mention about tomorrow being moved to Saturday?
Yes, please. Let's mention that tomorrow. If you were looking to enter the Haggis, we decided to move it from tomorrow because they're doing a little private party at the brewery tomorrow.
Right.
We decided to move it from tomorrow to Saturday. Instead of Saturday would be a lot better because they don't have to rush around. We can actually hang out and talk to them. They're going to play a couple songs. So they're going to hang out in the studio. So that's going to be Saturday afternoon. So I would love for everybody
special
to tune in.
EC Saturday show.
Yeah, an EC radio special show on Saturday.
So we did our D-Line show last week on Saturday. I thought it was great. I loved it.
Did you like it?
It was just a different energy.
Yeah.
You know, being, you know, like a little more calm and. I don't know.
No rush.
People are
hanging out.
In. Yeah. Speaking of which, the D-Line is coming up next. We are back on Thursday tonight in about 40 minutes now?
Yeah, about 40 minutes, half hour.
About a half hour, we'll be back with the D-Line. Like I said, Caleb's stuck at the airport, so our boy Sean Gaffney decided to come in and fill in for him, which is awesome. And, you know, if you want to, like, throw some shade at Greg Williams for being a Patriots fan, you're more than inclined to do so.
Yeah.
So
did I tell you I won money? I won the halftime squares on my squares. I got paid last night. So
nice.
I was excited. Yeah.
I was hoping to hear from Mike DeVice.
Oh, yeah. I've been talking to him today, actually.
Remember, he thought it was a little crazy for when I said that Philly was going to win and why I said Philly was going to win. And they won exactly the way I said they were going to win.
Yeah.
Because of that coaching staff. And
hey, let's face it. They can't beat the NFC East. Patriots. They can't.
And I got a feeling this isn't the last you're going to see of the Eagles. The way they constructed that team is very Belichick-like.
Yeah. So the D-Line at 6 o'clock tonight with Gaffney and Sill. You're going to have
Greg Williams.
Yep. Recap of the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl and some of the awards that they gave out for the NFL, Rookie of the Year and MVP and the Hall of Fame class and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun.
I'm surprised T.O. got on that.
I was shocked. He was on my bubble list. I didn't think he was actually going to get in. I thought John Lynch was going
to
get in.
I think I would have gave it to Lynch over T.O.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, he deserves it number-wise. I just thought
John Lynch will get in there, though.
I think John Lynch deserves to get in there.
Yeah.
I thought they would have went with Lynch because he's a general manager now and he's doing well with the organization. So there's like a big buzzword on his name right now. So I thought they would have given it to him from that, you know. Names back in the highlights, you know.
But. Yeah, we'll see, though. Well, have fun today
on
the D-Line. It's happening in a little bit. And then also, don't forget, we won't do a show tomorrow, but we will be on Saturday with Enter the Haggis. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to chopping it up with my Canadian friends. In Canada, I am known as Zed.
Zed?
Zed.
Why is Zed?
I'm huge in Canada. I'm known as Zed. That's Z in their alphabet, so. And tell them if you guys are watching this, bring us some Tim Hortons. Love that coffee.
Tim Hortons.
Oh,
yeah.
It's great coffee. Yeah. It really is great coffee. So, Nelson, one more time, thank you so much for coming to hang out with us. And stick around for the D-Line happening in just a little bit. And also, we got to give big ups to our boy Sean Raz. We've been on RazRadioLive.com all week. And he also posted us into his Twitcher and all those other social medias. I don't know. It's so hard to keep up with all these social medias. But we're on all of them.
Yep.
But Sean Raz is helping us out with a lot of that. So I want to give some love and respect out to our boy. Twitter, Twitch, we're on all that stuff. Stitcher and YouTube. And
RedTube, whatever.
No, that's the porn chicken.
Oh, well, I'm always on RedTube.
But no, thank you so much, Raz, for everything you do for us here at the D. And we will see you on Saturday. We'll see you Saturday?
Saturday. What time Saturday?
Noon. Right around
okay.
noon. Right around noon, I think.
Noon.
We'll be posting on Facebook about it. So we'll see you then. See
you. Welcome to EC Radio Podcast. We would like to thank all of our sponsors for joining the Disruption team, and we hope that you'll support all of our sponsors. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this program.
Never you mind what I'm making. You should spend some time taking a personal inventory of what you're doing for the betterment of society.
EC Radio.
Hey, it's Adeline Van Dyke from Coldwell Banker Faith Properties in Utica. I always get asked, why do I love real estate? It's very simple. I love my clients. I love every single thing about helping them find or sell their home. Making sure the home is solid and ready for sale or solid and ready for the buyer's inspection. To making sure that they're getting the best rate on their mortgage. Making sure they're getting the best price on their house. You know, just everything involved in the sale is vital. My absolute favorite part of real estate is when a buyer walks into the house they're going to buy. I can feel it before they even know they're loving the house. It's just that obvious. So I'd love to experience that feeling with you. So give me a call. Adeline Van Dyke, Coldwell Banker, Faith Properties, 315-404-6431. Or you can find me on Facebook or visit my website at centralnewyork.com /Adeline. Thank you, and I look forward to welcoming you home.
When it's your hard-earned money on the line that you are investing into a home, it makes sense to choose a proven professional to assist you in making one of the biggest investments you may ever make. Josh's dedication of over 20 years to the home construction industry allows him to bring knowledge and experience to your doorstep. That means you can feel confident and comfortable with his service to you. Past clients love his attention to detail and thorough written reports. By allowing priceless inspections to help you make a well-informed decision concerning your property, you will find that a quality inspection is priceless. Follow Priceless Inspections on Facebook or call 315-525-8725. In the Mohawk Valley, for the best real estate service, you gotta have faith. Caldwell Banker Faith Properties, 315-735-2222 or www.centralnyhomes.com.